You are listening to The Academy, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Good morning and happy Easter, North American Lutheran Church. This is Pastor. Yeah, he's risen. He is risen indeed. We love that. This is Pastor Tony Ead from First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Manchester, Iowa, and you are tuning into this month's edition of the Academy. Now, this month's edition of the Academy, we're talking a little bit about the Great Commission Society and the NALC, which mobilizes disciples for the work of the Great Commission. We know that scripture from Matthew 28 is full of all kinds of good news for us. And we really get our ministry and proclamation from that. I want to remind you of those words from Matthew 28 because they're really good for us to have on the tips of our tongue. Matthew 28, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age.'" I love that. I always make sure I emphasize that very, very last part. Remember, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. So, amen. With that scripture, Bishop Radosky helped kick this off for us. He had a one-to-one-to-one vision, calling for every congregation in the church to have a small or large, or every small or large congregation to have an active and intentional relationship with supporting a local ministry, a domestic mission, and somewhere that is global. So one local, one kind of regional, and one domestic, or and one mission that is global. So again, working kind of on a change, a cultural change with that, because this might have been kind of brand new for many people. And as Dr. Buba says for us often and reminds us often, that here in the NALC we are mission driven, and that's really the force that the Holy Spirit gives us to be in the North American Lutheran Church. So we want to focus on that, building up the body of Christ and being missional in all the different things that we say and do. To help us learn more about that, we have some great subject matter experts, we like to call them. You've got great titles now, folks. So I want to have them introduce themselves and tell a little bit about where they are, who they are, what kind of ministry they're up to, and introduce themselves for our day. Mim, we will go with you first. Tell us what you're up to in the world and everything we need to know about you for today.
Well, I was born at a young age. And my heart's in China, my horse is in Utah, my parents live in California, my home is Minnesota, I was born in Wisconsin, graduate school in Texas, lived in Arizona 8 years, Sioux Falls too, now I'm here, but my home's in heaven, I'm just a visitor.
There you go. You've got that down, you've got your own story down perfect.
But I don't know what time zone I'm in at all times, so I am grateful to be a follower of our Father.
Amen. Glad to have you here today. Okay. Preston, can you put it as perfectly as Mim did?
I've heard people talk about the elevator speech. I think Mim was talking about the ascension speech. Preston Foster, I pastor, by the grace of God alone, Christ the King Lutheran Church in DeSoto, Illinois, which is now an 11-year-old mission congregation of the North American Lutheran Church. As a matter of fact, yesterday was our 10th anniversary from the first time that I met the core of the founding members of the congregation and introduced them by Bishop Paul Spring. And as they say, everything from there to here is history. But Jenny's invitation for this particular conversation kind of lit a fire under me to go back and do some specific thanksgiving to what God has done for the past 10 years. So with that, Heidi.
Yeah. There's Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hi. Sorry, guys, I'm late.
You're joining us at the perfect time when we are actually live here. So I wanted to make sure that you knew that. And thank you for joining us here on the Academy. We've been together and had great conversations many times before. And actually, it's perfect timing because we've already heard from Mim about where she is at and doing ministry. We've just heard from Preston about where he's at and doing ministry. And if you would love to introduce yourself and tell us what you're up to in the world, that would be awesome.
Great. Thank you so much. Yes, I currently serve at Union Lutheran Church in Salisbury, which is a rural suburban congregation and wavering through the various COVID situations right now, but ministry continuing. We are focusing on a vision entitled One Relationship at a Time, Building One Relationship at a Time, piggybacking on the vision that I think Preston has and Bishop had of building one relationship at a time, one times one times one. So that links up with what Preston was doing. Also serving as global worker for Haiti and just came back from Haiti after having had a PASSES conference. So that's where I'm at.
Great. Always good to have you guys. Good to have you all. A little bit about my ministry. I'm in Manchester, Iowa. We are one county from Illinois. And two counties from one county from Illinois, one county from Wisconsin, and two counties from Minnesota. So we're right in the corner of Iowa. I've actually even got my little cup here. We're like right here. Okay. I serve in a rural congregation, a town of just about 5,000 people. My wife is a teacher. She teaches fifth grade language, literature, reading recovery, those kinds of things. And I've grown up in farming and rural ministry all of my life and all of my ministry career. So very glad to be here. Very glad to be living out this one-to-one vision that Bishop Radosky has set for us and for the ministry of our church. And glad to be able to hear some of the stories. And that's really what we're here to gather and to talk about here today. Practical tips for creating this culture of relationships, especially with our missional ministries. And we're here to tell stories and give examples for people who maybe this is a brand new thing for today. So glad to be with you all here today. I want to start us off here with our first question. For those of us who are in the North American Lutheran Church, those gathered and those who are listening today, why is the whole concept important of forming direct relationships when it comes to our missional portion and being mission driven in our ministries? Mim, I'll start with you, if that's okay.
Hey. Well, without a relationship, there isn't a depth of trust. Without a relationship, there isn't a hope of change. And I really want the people that are listening after Easter, especially to realize the power of the resurrection in those relationships and to be bold at walking out their unique quirkiness, as in personality, passions, and experience, to use everything God has given you to build relationships where you're at, whether that's a pickleball or weightlifting or knitting or underwater basket weaving. Use your gifts and ask the Holy Spirit to build one relationship at a time and go deep fast because Jesus is coming again.
Yeah. We just reminded everybody in our worship this weekend about, hey, realize that Jesus is coming again. And, you know, the people in biblical times had a little bit more immediacy about this. And sometimes we slip into, we'll get to that next week, right? when really being mission driven in our lives has to be an everyday living, breathing kind of deal, especially with our relationships. We'll walk with people through that. Heidi, we'll go to you here. Why is creating those relationships so important, especially when we're diving into the mission driven portion of our ministry?
I think it's a relationship that builds a story. You can't really bring Christ into someone if you don't know the story from where this person's coming from. You can cultivate trust. You can't cultivate any form of, meeting people where they are at if you don't know their story first. So that is my primary reason for saying, if you want to do mission, you've got to know where people are coming from. I think so easily we look at the outside of where people are at and we tend to make a judgment call. It may not always be negative. It might be sympathetic, but it might not be relevant. Building that relationship, here's the story behind the person, and that's, you know, my focus there.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of, can I tell a story?
Absolutely. This is the whole time. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all about stories. Just the good stuff.
Well, I'm reminded of when we were in Haiti and there was this young girl, she's about 18 or 19, and she was circling the peripheral of what we were doing, but not engaged in it at all. And we had some music playing and she was dancing to the rhythm of the music on the periphery, but not coming in. And I realized she had a real awesome sense of rhythm, which, you know, I don't, but I pretend I do, so I'm super cool. And then I walked toward her and I said, you know, you have really awesome rhythm. Could you teach me? And she looked at me and wasn't really particularly interested and started giggling. And the other girls coached her on and said, come on, do this. And so she taught me a few steps. I was not half as good as she was. But as she was teaching me to step in her steps, to follow in her rhythm, it opened up the opportunity where she then asked me, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And instead of giving a big theological answer, I said, well, I'm here because of you. And she said, well, you don't know who I am. I said, I don't know who you are, but you're about to tell me who you are. And, you know, that opened up a wonderful opportunity of conversation. And at the end of those 2 days, she wanted to become Christian. She moved away from her Voodoo faith to Christianity. Of course, things don't always happen as dramatically as that. But just the investment of relationship, of really listening to people where they are at and meeting them. Jesus met the woman at the well that way, right? No judgment. Yeah.
Can I throw in a story there regarding that too?
Sure.
Yeah, ma'am.
So, the challenge with being mission driven is to be a mission. And so in China, we have to be very careful. And so I think one of my favorite stories is a girl that I will call Tina that is a personal trainer that we had to have in order to lift in a fitness club in China. You have to have a personal trainer. And though Jeff and I are college athletes, we don't need one, but we had to have one to participate. Anyway, Tina got to hear about the joy of the Lord is my strength. And every time I was lifting, I was sharing a verse. She asked about this joy. And long story short, she came to know Jesus at the bicep curl station. So we prayed as if we were talking, and it was just one of my favorite mission driven God incidences, you know, and the Holy Spirit got her ready, and just be ready to share, be ready to open your mouth. And God will use you, even if you don't know the exact words, the Spirit will fill in the gaps.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Preston, tell me about why those relationships and why making that personal connection is so important. Tell me how the scripture influences that for you as well. You know, Heidi said the woman at the well. and Mim used scripture as well. You know, it's all important. Why is it important to have the relationships and scripture involved, you know, rooted and just sewn right into that as well?
Lifted up those little words there at the end of that phrase that says, until the end of the age. And my understanding of the end of the age is, what time you got? At the right time. And I'm beginning to understand that every time he arrives on the altar, his body and blood are there in the sacrament. Returned, right? He is appearing. Again, that story thing, as Mim was saying, the ability to listen is something that I have to work at very hard. Just long story short, people who know me know that I can burst into speech in a no moment's notice. Listening, the moment was the very first time I experienced a gathering of all the folks who were going to become the Great Rivers Mission District. The North American Lutheran Church wasn't even happening yet. But at this meeting was a young man who at the time was on the staff of Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, an Ethiopian who had finished college and was enrolled and working at seminaries. English was pretty much flawless. And standing next to him, the Ethiopian who was going to become the pastor of the Oromo Church as it was forming, Pastor Waktola Defera, whose English was non-existent. So Chala is interpreting as we are talking. And we had this fast going conversation because we had this great interpreter and felt like we had established a friendship. The next time we met a year later, it was just us. Mm. What are you going to do? You start reciting scripture. And that makes the connection. And as Mim had said, we find a way, you know, God finds a way for that. But to me, that whole thing about listening goes back to another brief part of a longer story. I became a Lutheran as an adult, mid-20s, in Southern California. Went to seminary in Berkeley, and then my first call was in Illinois. So I'm back to my native Midwest where I grew up, but with a whole different bag of things. And I walk into the Lutheran church and have the men start talking about dartball, as though the dartball is like the third sacrament to some ethnic American Lutherans, I'll put it down. And that said, you know, this is a fellowship. This is an expression of comradeship. These are people who have been together for generations around. It's not the dartball that's the fact. It's the community that's the fact. So learning to listen, and I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I did make a note there when Mim talked about trust. One of the things that a relationship to me, absolutely, a relationship in Christ is miraculous in that fear can be banished from the conversation. The wind can blow fear away. People who are like your girl in Haiti, who are fearful because they don't know you, suddenly discover they have nothing to fear. When we find ourselves yoked together with Christ, it makes that Venn diagram work. Here's Christ, here's me, here's them, and that overlap that's there does not include fear. And that's
fear. Yeah. I think also, you know, adding to your conversation, Preston, is, you know, the listening part is this getting the story of where people are at. But I also feel we need to have a deep sense of accountability, not only to the individual that we're listening to, but also to scripture and to God. You know, it's one thing walking with people and listening to people. It's a different aspect to be there for longevity. And I think mission is there for the long haul. It's not just swooping in and leaving. It's investing in the lives and being accountable to them and to God.
So when we talk about being mission driven and, you know, all of us, you know, we've got lots of experience with this and have a certain amount of comfort in doing this. How can we talk to the person that's listening to us here today that this is all brand new and maybe they don't have a spirit of fear with them, but they have a spirit of anxiety, like, hey, this is this is a new territory for me, and what do I do, and how do I get started, and who do I talk to, and you know, how does all this work? How do you get started, Preston?
Whether it's internal prayer or whether it's vocalized prayer in a relationship, invoking the presence of God and trusting in the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I forget to do that, it becomes a conversation about me and this other person. And again, as I've said, having to make that surrender to let Jesus drive the conversation makes all the difference. So a relationship that is not specifically invoking the name doesn't work. My reference to Dartball was, when you talk about faith and Christ, suddenly Dartball is the only reason why we're in. That's what brought us to the room, but everybody centers in on that. And that's, you know, as I said, is letting Jesus drive it.
What is Dartball?
Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. So Dartball is, it's this, is like a 35 by 35 inch dartboard, okay, that's shaped like a baseball diamond, and you throw these big wooden darts at it underhand from, I don't know, 15 foot away, something like that, Preston. And one, it's like baseball, but it's with darts. One team is lined up on this side of the dartboard, and one team is lined up on this side of the dartboard, and you play a game of baseball back and forth, and there's, you know, little interesting rules and things like that. But the best rule is that, let's say if you're playing my church versus Preston's church, it's the, you know, camaraderie and the backbiting a little bit, and you know, the getting after each other. And you know, we sat around in our dart ball game and had a bowl of soup and a sandwich, and then we played dart ball and we prayed, and it was just a fantastic thing. It is a phenomenon in Midwestern Scandinavian, we can say German, you know, Lutheran circles, or you know,
hey, incredible. I'm gonna have to learn how to do that. So, as I play 79 different sports, it could be my 80th sport.
It would be well worth it. It would be well worth it.
Pickleball is the craze out west, actually all over the world. But that's a new ministry for me, and that's what I would say to the listeners: is bloom where you are planted.
Yeah.
Bloom where you are planted. So right now, Jeff and I are back from China and serving my 90-year-old parents and Bethel Lutheran Church, and still serving China. But we are in a new area, and so we're making new relationships to begin the Great Commission wherever we are. And right now for me, that happens to be pickleball.
Yep.
So your dart ball theme. I'm also a horse nut, and so I meet all sorts of eccentric horse people that I share Jesus with my Riding High with Jesus ministry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's my challenge to the listeners: is bloom where you are planted. God made you exactly how you are, with your gifts and unique quirks, and that's where He wants you to share the gospel.
Yep. So pickleball we are putting in two brand new pickleball courts here in our town.
Awesome. And, I'll come visit.
Yeah, they are, we're crazy pickleballers too. I wish we were as crazy about dartball as we are pickleball now. It's kind of the next new thing. So Heidi, Preston shared, here is a local thing, you know, that we can get, you know, people involved in. Mim shared a local thing that we get people involved in. You know, from your perspective, how do we get people started? And we got the example of this is the nuts and bolts. How do we get somebody started with doing mission? You know, it's that old speech that we first did in our high school speech class. Tell me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, how do we do this? What are the first steps that we need to do to create a mission, one-to-one-to-one relationship?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at what Jesus did, Jesus met people where they were at. He called them, he equipped them, he empowered them, and he sent them. So what mission looks like for me might not look what mission looks like for you. As a Lutheran church, we have this wonderful teaching tool that we use every Sunday called the Apostles or the Nicene Creed. If we call someone into the mission field or send someone into the mission field, I think it is very vital that we empower and equip them to do so. For Jesus, it took 3 years to get the disciples empowered and equipped. Sometimes I think we send people into the mission field way too quick, not recognizing who they are as individuals. You wouldn't send someone that's an introvert necessarily out into the mission field where they would be the only person speaking, but you would yoke them with someone else who is a speaker. Now, we do know that God changes people's personalities in mission, but that's not how you start out with mission. It's also very important that as you look in the mission field that you're going into, that you analyze what God's call is in that. If the mission field requires you to do teaching, then you obviously would be looking for people with the ability and gift to be able to teach. I was listening to all of you sharing sports analogies, and I'm going, I totally appreciate that, but I am not an athlete. This is so not my thing. So if you know, the sports analogy is something that works in a certain, or an athlete is needed in a certain field, that would be the mission person you would send in that. Not me. I would be your cheerleader, though, all day long.
Yeah.
So if you look at the practical skills of it all, first analyzing what the mission field is that you're going into. If it's inner city mission, if it's foreign mission, if it's rural mission, that's very important to do what we call a SWOT analysis of the area you're going into. Then also taking a SWOT analysis of the individual that you believe is going into that field. If I sense a call of ministry, I need to do a SWOT analysis of myself. Recognize where my strengths are and how those strengths meet the weaknesses of the area I'm going into. And then it's important to yoke myself with other individuals that might fill my weaknesses. Those are like the practical aspects of it. Obviously, there is the layer of prayer that always needs to be there. Scripture and God's word has to be part of every aspect of doing the practical tools. But I'm big on accountability. We all know that. You know, if you go somewhere, make tangible goals, reachable goals, share them with someone. And this someone will hold you accountable. How are you doing? Have you been doing this? When I raise funds for Haiti, for example, I feel deeply accountable to those congregations and those individuals, and I expect them to hold me accountable. So if I haven't told a story, if I haven't gotten back to them, they need to hold me accountable.
That's that accountability part is great. So some of the nuts and bolts in regards to being mission-driven from my ministry, for me, it starts with kids and getting them involved and identifying them as missionaries, okay? So when I was a high schooler, I had very active church life and a very wonderful pastor that cared for us deeply. And we went on every summer, we went on a mission trip. Some days it was a 2-night away kind of deal. Some years it was a full week away, but every year, every summer we went on a mission trip. So in my congregations, I've replanted that seed for my kids. Now, what we do in the Iowa Mission District is a little broader than just the congregational level. We take the whole, everybody who is able and wants to participate, we take all the kids on a mission trip in the whole Iowa Mission District. So if you can imagine, we went to Houston, Texas and did hurricane relief. And we had 65 of us on a mission trip. And, you know, you get all of those hard working farming Iowa kids down to do work. And, you know, it was funny. They said, well, we have like 200 flood buckets that we need to fill, and we need a team of kids to do that. And it'll probably take you all week, you know, to do those flood buckets. Well, it only took them 35 minutes to complete that task. So we were helping in all different kinds of ways and becoming missionaries, you know, first and foremost, you know, in scripture. We had different pastors with us, you know, and one pastor was in charge of devotionals every day, and one pastor was in charge of the meals and prayers, and one pastor was in charge of nighttime worship, you know. And soon these kids, who maybe some of them were pretty reluctant to go, started thinking, I never want to leave this, you know, meaning it wasn't so much the place, it was the people and the experience that was planted in them, that they're just like, you know, I will always remember the time we took 65 people, you know, down to help with hurricane recovery, and we ate oranges fresh off of a tree, you know. And, you know, we don't have orange trees in Iowa, you know, we have corn and beans everywhere, you know, that's how we operate, you know. And soon, you know, we create this bigger culture of people who are like, wow, you know, I want to be part of a mission opportunity in college now. And they go a little farther away, you know, or I want to, as an adult, I want to be a part of that mission opportunity. And they get hooked up with someone like Mim and go to China, or with Katie, and or they maybe want to be, of all things, do something crazy, like be a pastor, you know. Wow, what would prompt that? You know, it's those seeds that we plant real early, you know, in making disciples and making missionaries. And I say, did you guys know that you're missionaries now? And they're like, oh no, that's some, those are just the people that come and talk to us once a year, or you know, that kind of deal. I'm like, no, you guys are missionaries. And try that on, you know, put that armor on for yourself. It's incredible. Mim, how do we get people that first step? How do we make that relationship? Like, let's say, how did you get hooked up with China? How do we get hooked up with Haiti? How do we, you know, how do we make that relationship, like, way bare bones here? How do we get started with this?
Okay. I've got three things to share. Before I do that, one is Iowa.
Oh, we're losing her. Heidi, why don't Tim, we're kind of losing you on your connection there. Heidi, why don't you take a little bit of time and talk about some of those nuts and bolts while Mim maybe gets into a little better one.
All right. Well, you kind of touched on it when you said.
Oh, Heidi, you muted yourself by accident, I think.
Go to your general.
There you go.
All right.
Oh, Heidi, you muted yourself again. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Can we just tell the devil to get out of our space that we do in here?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not having a good connection sometimes. That's all right. Heidi, let her go there.
All right. Okay. So you touched on it when you said, let us take people to practice the mission field. So you're walking alongside them into that mission field. The way that I got connected into Haiti was going to Haiti with another congregation. It was just like, oh, cool. I can go with these people and just ride along and accompany them. I wasn't really planning anything else besides going along with a group of people and being invited to do so. So I went along with Holy Trinity Lutheran Church here in Troutman. And from there on, I built relationships with the individuals on the ground by them actually selling what they were doing. And when I say selling, is being authentic in their mission work. they were taking me to the people that they were teaching. They were having me hold the children. They were having me go into the villages and meeting those individuals in the villages and praying for them. So the next step after that was, when I had my call into ministry to go there, was how do I move from, okay, God is calling me to do this, into digging into do it. So what I did was I called the global office in the NLT global office, connected with them first and shared my story and said, I believe God is calling me to do this. I have never had Gemacious or Jenny say, oh no, that doesn't fit our agenda. They get so super excited that it's like a snowball before you know it, it all unfolds. But the NLT does really good asking you to unpack what this ministry is that you want to be involved in. And then that ministry, like in my case, SMI has documents that they will send out that the NLC will verify and make sure that their theological and mission understanding yokes with the NLC. After that, it flows pretty easy. Moving on from there, that's the practical stuff. This is not the fun stuff. Why are you asking me to talk about stuff that ain't fun?
Well, remember, some of the people that we are speaking to today, this is their very first, you know, how to get involved. You know, they're, like I said, this is all very natural for all of us. But for some people, this is just like, oh, you know, brings a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Well, you know, the NLT does a good job displaying the global missions and the local missions at our different convocations. I really would encourage people to visit those tables and not just visit for the sake of, I'm a tourist at this table, but visit those tables to sit and linger in the story and then see what the Holy Spirit does from there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will walk alongside you in this. We're not going to throw you in the deep water.
Okay, ma'am, it looks like you're in your office now instead of the mobile office.
Yes.
Tell us some of those nuts and bolts. Pick up where you left off.
Okay. Well, first of all, I was going to put a shout out to three things. Yeah. Iowa. Iowa sent more missionaries to China than any other state in the United States 150 years ago. Mm-hmm. So God has been moving the hearts of you farmers to plant seeds of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. So yay. I love it. And I think all of us need to start from birth planting the heart of a missionary in our children as Christian parents, that God has put them in this time in history, in this place in history for a reason, giving them the gifts that he has given them and passions, and that to pursue them for the Lord and be willing to hold them out with their hands open. Lord, here I am, use me. And so I think I challenge every listener to say, Lord, here I am, use me. And he will use even the most unusual thing that you like, whether it's a banjo or a horse or a pickleball or plant, even as a farmer talking about farming, you know, there's things growing all over the world. So no matter where you go in the world, there's something that you can plant and you can reap. And so just that heart of, okay, Lord, I'll give you all that I have. It might be 2 loaves and 5 fish. This is all I have. But if you're willing to give that, it is so exciting to see him just go crazy with it. You know, it took me 4 years to find horses, 3 years to train them to do a riding high with Jesus for special needs kids in China. It was crazy that I could even find a horse, let alone train it to help with special needs angels. But God did it. And, you know, finding China was crazy because, you know, we had been serving Russian orphans and prison boys for 11 years. And I thought God would call us there full time. But he sent me, I'm usually on the back of a horse in the middle of nowhere kind of girl, and I like it. And God sent us to the most crowded place in the world, in China. And he gave, even though I was out of my comfort zone, he gave me supernatural power and strength that I was so dependent on, but I was carried and floated by the Lord and equipped. And he will give you everything you need. And you just need to have this yes mentality of, yes, Lord, I trust you, Lord. So it doesn't mean, you know, no one is disqualified. It's not that you have to have a certain amount of knowledge, education, money, beauty. God will use you if you are willing. So get willing and then watch out.
Yep. Yeah. Preston.
Sometimes what looks to us like an accident in 2020 hindsight looks like this, what God planned in the first place. Mm-hmm. We entered our new building in 2014 after a year of construction, and we were celebrating. During the course of that next year, some money was basically appeared that was, what are we going to do with this? Okay, so the decision was made when a local call went out. We need box fans for elderly and poor folks during the summertime. Mm-hmm. One of our folks said, oh, we can use this as an evangelism thing. So we put out the word, we did all the local media kind of stuff that we were going to be giving away box fans. And I don't remember the exact number, but I think they bought something like 30 box fans and had exactly two families show up at the church to collect box fans. Next question is, what do we do with these? One of our members is a volunteer at a local organization. It's called Serving People in Need, SPIN. Started in 2005 by an Army veteran who had been homeless at one point, and he and his wife decided they'd do what they could do with the rest of their life for others. So one of our members who volunteers at SPIN said, sure. She checked with them. Yeah, we had a youth group meeting where the kids loaded all the fans into the pickup truck, and we prayed over the fans, and off went the pickup truck. The kids were involved in the process. It became youth ministry. It became social service and effectively became evangelism further down the road, but it didn't work the way that we intended to in the beginning. We're donating box fans to SPIN because that's our tradition.
Yep. We had a similar one in my previous parish, where we were really good at filling up our on-campus food pantry. We had a larger office space that had food pantry needs for people, lots of canned goods and things like that. Well, we got to seeing that there was like a pattern of things happening, that people weren't taking canned goods. They were taking like the frozen meat that they had, and they were taking like the tear open packages and things like that. We were questioning, you know, why do we have this surplus of canned goods and nobody's taking things? Well, I had gotten to know one of the people who frequented the food pantry, and I asked him, why aren't you taking any canned goods? I said, we don't even have a can opener. Ah, okay. So I thought, just like Preston, you know, God is asking us to find some can openers here. So I said, you know, I'm kind of thinking in worship the next weekend at our three worship services, I'm thinking that we need to collect can openers because we have this particular need. We had over 1,000 can openers show up. You know, for a food pantry. And I don't know if you know what 1,000 can openers looks like, but it was, you know, the big, you know, 35-gallon totes, you know, that, you know, you'd put your recycling in and things like that, with three of those filled with can openers, you know. And it was like, okay, now we tell them, here's how you open your cans. Here's how you heat your food. Here's how you do this. We want to feed you, but we're giving it to them in packages. They don't have the ability to open up. You know, one poor guy is trying to open up a can of soup with a steak knife. You know, I'm like, ah, danger. You know, and you know, see the need, fit the need, kind of deal. You know, mm-hmm. Heidi, we're gonna go to you next. We've heard some stories about helping people to tangibly engage, and the way you make it very personal, Okay. And I know that you've had some experience with one of our ministry friends, Rachel Sostaby, and her family, and helping with prayer in Haiti and all that kind of stuff. Could you share with us some of the ways that you can just tangibly, you know, hands-on, earthy kind of ways that you can share that ministry? What are some of those stories?
Well, yeah, Rachel's children are just such a blessing. When Rachel and I started our relationship out, it was purely to be involved in the Carolinas Mission District on the mission board. Was more of an academic endeavor. But this was a couple of years ago. And since then, our relationship has grown. And she's watched me go to Haiti. And she said, hey, my kids have seen Haiti. How can they get involved? Well, these are children. And there are children in Haiti. And how do we get those two groups of children connected to each other? So what Rachel and I thought of was we're going to have them collect items for the specific school in Gutan. And then as they collect these items, which Rachel's children, by the way, they had their birthday parties. Instead of friends bringing gifts, they invited their friends to bring resources for the school.
Oh, very cool.
So I took those resources with me to the school in Gutan, and the particular class that benefited from the resource, they danced and sang for these two children. So I took a video of it and shared it with Rachel's kids so that they could see not only their stuff being handed out that they collected, but that they could see the joy of the children receiving the item in the first place. You know, children have the same need globally, no matter where you are at, and bringing those two needs together. There's the other story in my congregation of a woman who has a deep heart to help people, but very insecure of a proclamation of the gospel, and has all sorts of reasons why she can't do that. Well, there is a woman in Haiti with a very similar personality and character trait. So the way in which I'm bridging the gap is to introduce these two individuals to each other. So mission is happening between these two women as they pray for each other and support each other. So it's a very personal relationship. I think the woman in my congregation will never go to Haiti. And yet she has this deep, profound relationship with a new believer in Haiti that she's able to pray for and talk to and read the Bible with. And, you know, she does Bible studies here in the USA. She attends Bible studies, but now she's one that's pouring out Bible studies to one person, one woman in Haiti. Yeah. It's all about that one-on-one stuff.
Absolutely.
Preston, you have maybe a little bit of a different perspective on this from the congregational basis. What can you share with for stories as you continue to grow? I know that you've been blessed by the ministry of somebody named Aunt Betty and some different opportunities there. What can you share about that from the congregational standpoint?
Make it tough. Aunt Betty left us last fall at the age of 103.
Wow.
At that point, I had known her for 10 years. And one of the great blessings and joys in my now 10 years at Christ the King has been making regular visits to bring communion to Betty and visit with her and pray with her and just listen to her tell stories. There's a book was published a few years ago by the history department at Southern Illinois University telling the story of the great 1925 Tri-State Tornado. Betty was the last survivor of the Tri-State Tornado, still living, and she was the little seven-year-old girl who saw half her family go away in one day. She lost her dad and several siblings, and yet out of that came a life that was a life of mission, a life of ministry. So she was and will be, I'm sure, one of those power sources, one of those connections for us. And one of the things that she was so thrilled by when we talked about it, what do you do when you come back? I said, come back, circle back in your lifetime. When I was just starting as a new church member in my mid-20s, I, of course, playing the guitar and the banjo, was shoveled over to the youth group of the high school kids. One of those high school kids who graduated from high school in 1974 went on to study at the California Lutheran Bible School, now Lutheran Bible Institute in Southern California, where he met his wife, and they went off with his tendency toward mechanical stuff as a licensed aircraft mechanic to Central Africa. So Jim and Judy, to advance the clock to now, three of their four kids were born in Central Africa on the mission field. They have this incredible story, and Jim says he just can't understand still 50 years later how it is that people can get a paycheck every month and not have to go out and talk to people about what they're doing, raising support, as Heidi's saying, raising support for a mission. They are now associated with the next thing from SIL, Summer Institute of Linguistics, the Bible translation of people from Wycliffe, called SiftToEarth.org. Judy and Jim get to travel around the United States promoting the use of this website, which has the scriptures in literally hundreds of languages. I wrote it down this morning. It's the list of countries starts with Afghanistan and goes to Zimbabwe from A to Z. If you have a language group, you go to this website. Well, and then I was told by my Ethiopian brothers, one of these and a solar charger, and you're on the internet. And half of Central Africa or more are now equipped with those. So for people who say the internet has no redeeming features, au contraire, you know, here we are with one of those high school kids from that youth group 40 plus years ago, coming back into our lives, and Judy and Jim coming to visit Christ the King to thank us for contributions, to get to know the kids in the youth group, and to talk to an adult Sunday Bible class before COVID hit with the message of ScriptureEarth.org and the message of scripture translation. And that, you know, sharing that story with Betty was just like, well, of course, because that's what we do. We share Jesus with people in any way possible.
Yeah.
Mim, you serve in a closed kind of ministry, and that has some very, very unique boundaries and things like that. Tell us about how you navigate all of that.
Well, you have to be reliant on the Holy Spirit to give you inspiration. And he does. And so you have to act natural, though you have the mission in mind. And so with our meetings, we often are on the move, so there can be no hidden microphones, and even if people were following, they couldn't hear well. So we do a lot of mission on the move. In fact, MIM, my husband says, means mischief in the making. I say mission in motion. But so we find creative ways, and we use our Father is our common connection. And we pray for protection all the time. You're just more aware. But the hunger in a closed country is unbelievable. The hunger and because the resources are limited, because they're controlled, when they get a resource. So for example, in our line of work right now, we do life-to-life coaching and making disciples. And so when we give a tool to one of our disciple makers, they immediately use it. So for example, with navigators, they have the hand picture, and your hand is holding the Bible, kind of like this in the picture, because it teaches you how to study the Bible. So the picture, I'll see if I can find it quickly, but it just gives, we give them tangible tools that they can draw so they can learn how to share Christ on a napkin at a coffee shop. Coffee shop is China's best friend. I challenge our listeners to be able to share the gospel on a napkin using, you know, a picture like with a Bible. The hand is like, you need to read, you need to study, you need to meditate, you need to apply. And I can't remember the fifth one, but, you know, just something simple like that. And then being able to, we also use the wheel of faith, you know, where Christ is the center, and you need to, in order to have the wheel of faith, you have Christ the center, prayer and the word of God, witnessing and stewardship, and then obedience is the rubber that meets the road. We have the bridge illustration. We use the colors of the gospel. But they, as soon as they get it in a closed country, they give it away and it multiplies so fast. And so, you know, listeners, use what God has given you and give it away, and then he'll give you more, and then give it away, and just keep giving it away. And God is just, the Chinese people are so hungry, and they're willing to die for the gospel. They're willing to be blacklisted for the gospel. They're willing to, you know, not have the opportunities, with jobs for the gospel. And they know that it's an honor to be persecuted. And they're actually praying for America that we toughen up.
Yeah, that's a powerful perspective on that ministry. And I'm very thankful for you and so many other people that are called to go into that kind of ministry field. It's it just goes to show that we've all got a little bit of a different perspective on the ministry and the life, and, you know, where that one-to-one-to-one relationship takes us from time to time. Hey, listen, we are just about at the end of our time. Time flies when you're having fun, right, Preston?
Yes.
If we could go around and save just a resource for us, if you have something that you want to share in our final moments, or a resource, a book, a website, or something, you are welcome to share that so that other people can grow in their mission and ministry and continue with this relationship. Preston, we'll go with you.
Mind goes blank. First thing, remember that I am with you always, because that is what empowers all of this. The Holy Spirit sees things that I never see. So when you get that little whisper of, look at this again, listen to that again, that God makes those connections, and people of good faith sense that, understand that. The language barrier to me has always been a fearsome thing, but discovering that I can invite my Ethiopian brother to pray over the phone with me in Oromo. I don't need to hear what he's saying, but I hear that his heart is pouring out. He says, now you pray in English. And that's the way that we get through a conversation.
That's great. That's great. Mim, what kind of resources would you offer for our people who are watching us here today?
First of all, prayer. God will guide you to be the missionary that you have been called to be, and ask him where, Lord, and ask him to help you trust him. I say one of the things that we're using in China right now with discipleship to maturity. So from being a spiritually dead, spiritual infant, spiritual child, young adult, and grandparent, is finding a way to help your new believers become disciple makers. So don't just leave them at the, I've given a personal relationship with Jesus a start. Help them finish. Help them get to have spiritual children. And Coach the Bible is something that we have used in China recently that has had great fruit and is a great resource. That's a free online thing, as well as the Navigators life-to-life coaching and the Colossians 2:7 series. Book one, Growing Strong, is a phenomenal disciple-making tool. And we use that all over the world.
Great.
And thanks for making the hearts. We give them away all over China. and they are a great testimony for the heart of Jesus.
My fifth grade son has one of those hearts on his backpack, and goes to school with him every single day.
Oh, thank you. Praise God. What's his name?
His name is Carver, C-A-R-V-E-R.
Okay.
And he takes him right into school, and people ask him about that, and because he was at the pastor's conference with me last year in Florida, and that's where he picked that up at, and just right there on his back, and it's got sometimes he's got his books and his laptop and his baseball glove and all those things.
Oh, so, that's so awesome! Tell him I'm praying for him.
Yep, thank you. Oh, Heidi,
with the knee surgery.
Yep. Oh. That's great. Heidi, what can you share for resources for us? You wrote a note there. That's really great. What more can you share for us?
Well, I don't know if the note is a resource. That's just a side note for you guys as a last mentioning. One of the resources, besides, I do like the Navigator's material, and I don't apply it exactly, but I do reap investments from it. One of the books that I use, it's actually not a Jesus book. So I Jesus-ize it, but it is the five dysfunctions of a team.
Ah, yes.
So I used that and rewrote it Yeah, there you go.
Right here in my pile.
Amen. And I used that for building my sermon series that I did. I used that in a Relational Aspects 1-on-1. I yoked that together with the five languages of love that Gary Chapman has used. I'm also enjoying a book that I'm reading right now, The Post-Quarantine Church by Tom Reiner, which is kind of fun. And I'm a big, big fan of David Bosch, Transforming Missions. I do pull back to that a lot as well.
So in my church office, I have all of my theological books and things like that. I'm in my home office today, and that's where I have all my books where I studied my MBA, for continuing education. So, the five dysfunctions of a team and the, you know, different things like that are all right in front of me. And when you said that,
I'll give you the synopsis so you don't have to read it.
Oh yeah, it's so good. Yeah. Well, I have read it. I actually used it in my MBA thesis because I wrote on crisis intervention for
how cool.
So, yeah. So the people out there are not able to see your note. So I want to share that with you, or share that with those who are watching here. Heidi said, make it simple. We all know. And especially me, I'm a firefighter volunteer here in my community. We all know stop, drop, and roll. Heidi shared, stop whatever you're doing and regard this person in front of you to the most important person in your life, in the world, in the universe. Trust that God and that person, be honest with yourself and the person. Be committed to the mission and the person. Do not play the blame game when things do not go right at first, and learn from the results. So that's the stop part. Drop into their lives. What makes them happy and gets excited? How does that complement or speak to the lives that we're being saved? And roll with the Holy Spirit as you go forward and together with a solid purpose and focus. Thank you for that. Sometimes we get too complicated with things, you know. Stop, drop, and roll. That's great. As always, and I don't have it in front of me, we are working through joining Jesus on his mission with other teams here in the North American Lutheran Church. I want to commit both of those books to you by Greg Finke. Joining Jesus on his mission, Show Me How is the one that we're working through right now. And it is a walk alongside kind of book. I want to commit both of those by Greg Finke. And also on his website, 511.org, we have some different resources if you want to use it for preaching or teaching or weekend away in your council meetings, things like that. So I'm going to commit those two. And the first one is actually an audiobook, and they haven't quite got there for audiobook, and they're translating into different languages, Spanish and I believe Russian. So that book is going deep and wide. So
I met him in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
I met Greg Sankey in Ethiopia. It was fantastic.
He's a good dude and friend of the North American Lutheran Church. And if you want to use that book for congregation reading, you can order bunches from him and get a discount as well. So glad to have that resource as well. Well, we have a couple other resources that I want to talk to you about and passing them on. Bethel Lutheran Church with Pastor Doug Gast and Pastor Eddie Perez, they've developed an online workshop that can assist at the congregational level. And we will make sure that those resources and things are passed on in the comment section of our conversation here today. We want to celebrate the 10 years of the North American Lutheran Church as well. And we want to do that by sharing stories. So if you do have stories, you can share, type them or shoot a video or something like that. We want to collect those for our social media and for our gatherings. You can email those to missions@thenalc.org. So collecting those kinds of stories about our time and the last 10 years of the North American Lutheran Church. So I want to say a word of prayer for each over all of you and your ministries before we leave. And then we'll be on our way, mission driven and full of all kinds of new ideas. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are thankful and we praise you for the ways that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit so that we can go out and be mission driven in our lives. God, continue to give us the things that we need to be mission driven, to find you and to cast the Holy Spirit on other people and to witness to them wherever they are, wherever they are planted. We ask a blessing upon Preston and upon Heidi and upon Min and all the ministry that you call them to do. Keep them and protect them and give them the things that they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And may God bless your ministry too and you too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. We have a lot of fun.
Thank you.
It's good to be with you all. And that brings us to the end of our time here with the North American Lutheran Church Academy. Again, I am Pastor Tony Ede from First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Manchester, Iowa. And you have been watching the Academy of the North American Lutheran Church. We'll see you next time.
God bless. See you there in the air.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.